Welcome on board this United flight to the USA. If you look under your seat, you'll find
a rainbow flag. We ask that you join us in letting your true colors fly.
Let your true colors fly with United. Travel to the USA from 4 airports in the UK and connect to over 280 destinations across the Americas.
Visit united.com.
United.com.
Dean McCulloch here. Big, big adventure. I'm heading off to Chicago, Illinois, and I'm not going to be doing it by myself. You may know this man from Tuesday afternoons. Em and I catch up with him to find out, you know, what you could be getting up to with your week, including TV, film, and books. The man himself, Matt Cade, joins me. Hiya, Matt.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, I didn't choose you. You were at the bottom of a long list, but hey, you had the weekend off, and I thought, shall we just go on holiday? Now, of course, we have to talk about this book, but before that, you know, many of our listeners will have read a little old magazine called Attitude Magazine.
Yes, I was editor-in-chief for the last 18 months. I've just stepped down. It's a concentrate on my book, The Madonna of Bolton, that's coming out July the 12th. All very exciting. But when I got the call asking, do I want to go to Chicago with Dean McCulloch and Gerdia, how can I say no?
How can you just say no? You've been to Chicago before, though, haven't you?
I have. I've been only once last year when I was at Attitude. I did a travel article. I was only here for 3 or 4 days, but I completely loved it. I spent a lot of time in different American cities, and I loved Chicago, but I was just struck by how underrated it is and how little people know about it. Yes. How little people know about the gay area, Boys Town.
Yes.
And I just, you know, from what I experienced the last time, it was brilliant. It was massive. It was thriving. There was loads going on.
Yes.
And I want to experience it with you, Dean.
Well, it's great because I've never been there before, and I've spent little time in America, so I'm really excited about what we're going to be getting up to. No doubt it'll be an absolute riot.
You know me, I like an adventure. We have just arrived at the Acme Hotel, and we're excited. We've had a little look at our rooms, but we're excited about finding out more.
We're joined now by the Director of Sales and Marketing, Brent Hinton. Now, we need to talk about these beds, first of all. When I go to a hotel, I literally run in, jump, and land on the bed. Had we not had this interview, I would still be in that bed after that flight. Do you pride yourselves on comfort here at the Acme Hotel?
It's all about making the guests comfortable and giving them the tools to enjoy their stay in Chicago. And obviously, a bed's a very important piece of that stay in Chicago, so yes.
Yeah, it definitely
is. There's a lot of innuendo that we've missed there, by the way, although we actually were talking about sleeping in these very nice beds, weren't we?
Well, you could fit quite a lot of people in the bed, couldn't you, Matt? Just, you know, that's at least a 4-person bed.
It is, but I wouldn't know. I'll tell you what, though, on that subject, we are in downtown Chicago, but how do we go about traveling to Boys Town from here?
Yeah, so if you want to leave this awesome location, because we are in the middle of everything here in River North, we're right around the corner from the Red Line. So if you literally walk out the door, hang a left, you're right at the Red Line, hop on that, and you're up in Boys Town. It's a few stops up.
We can manage that, can't we, darling?
I'm sure we can. It's quite nice, though, isn't it, to sort of, if you're here, say, you know, with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, it's quite nice to escape that and see something different, would you agree?
Yeah, so being in River North, you know, this is where everyone lives. This is where everyone comes to hang out. We're in the middle of about 35 to 50 different restaurants, whether you want a hole-in-the-wall bar or you want a Michelin star rated restaurant. We're 2 blocks off the Magnificent Mile, so for all of your shopping, we have Rush Street 4 blocks up from us, which is all the nightlife, the bar scene. So we're literally in the best location of Chicago to actually experience Chicago.
I suppose our listeners will be looking for, you know, comfort and something that's within their budget. Now, you guys say that you don't want to blow the budget on this hotel. However, looking around, it looks so luxurious, but still very quirky and comfortable.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
No, absolutely. The whole idea was to allow the traveler today wants more money to spend on experiences. Everyone wants an experience. You don't want to waste all of your money on a hotel room just to get a good night's sleep. We can give that to you and still be affordable, so you have the money to afford the experiences of Chicago. So we do have all the luxuries that you come to expect. We have a few things that we cut out from, you know, we don't have 24-hour room service because we're in the middle of a million restaurants. Exactly. So we don't have turndown service because really, do you need someone turning down your sheets at night? Or are you capable
of doing... Sorry, what is it called?
Turndown service.
I thought you said turned on service.
Well, we actually have that. That's just an additional fee.
No. You have turned on service? Anyway, you'll be doing it midnight tonight.
Stop it, Dean. Talk about the hotel. Okay. Hey, I've got a question. You're mentioning, Brent, what the travelers want from your hotel. Can you tell us, do you get lots of gay travelers? How do you go about making gay travelers feel welcome here?
You know, it's really a matter of making every traveler feel welcome, and we let them express themselves however they feel comfortable, and we just give you the tools to express yourself and be yourself in Chicago. We try not to be pretentious. We try not to expect anything from our guests. It's very casual. You know, I wear jeans to work, and we expect the guests to just be casual.
Yeah, you can really feel that. Certainly when Matt and I checked in today, the staff on reception were just, you know, very often when you go to hotels, they really try really hard to make you feel welcome. Here, it was like chatting to a friend.
Absolutely. It's all about being that friend. We don't have a concierge because we don't want to be that type of hotel. You know, we want to feel like you're home. If you would stay in an Airbnb, this is a similar feeling to that. We have our doorman who's a local expert. So we're not going to send you to tourist traps. We're going to send you where we're going to go eat. Mm. We're going to send you to what you want, and that's not going to be a tourist trap because they're not working on a kickback from a restaurant or a bar. It's going to be a real Chicago experience. Mm. And yeah, from the front desk up to management, it's all about making people feel welcome because you're comfortable. Yeah. So the front desk picks the playlist that you hear in the lobby. They're able to express themselves. If they have tattoos or earrings, they can wear those. We don't ask them to cover them up. And it's the same thing we expect from our guests. Come in, be comfortable, and we're going to help you be comfortable. We're in the hospitality industry at the end of the day. You can look at it online, and it's great, but once you stay and experience the service, you know, that's what it's all about.
So what is the inspiration then of the hotel? Because we've talked about it being quirky yet luxurious.
So the original inspiration when we created Acme, we opened up in 2012, and the idea was we wanted to take three very odd things. We wanted to take technology, a little bit of retro, and a little bit of industrial. So we kind of threw all those together, and this is kind of the product that came up. So from the orange chair in the sleeping room, it kind of gives you that retro feel, to, you know, mobile room key on your phone with the technology. We have, this is great for you guys when you're here. You can actually check these out at the front desk. We have mobile hotspots, so you don't have to use roaming charges when you're here. So for international travelers, you grab one at the front desk and you have Wi-Fi throughout the city. Mm. So that's kind of where the technology comes in.
Okay, then let's take a walk out of the hotel then. Why should people come to Chicago over the other main cities in America?
I know there's 18 miles of sandy beaches because I read it in a tourist guide. I was doing my research before I came here, Dean.
I'm super, super excited. We're going to go upstairs, have a quick costume change, maybe have a shower, and then we're going to hit the streets of Chicago. Brent, thanks so much for inviting us here this weekend, for hosting us in your beautiful hotel.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming.
If people want to get involved, and they can come and book, head straight onto your website, right?
Yeah, absolutely. AcmeHotelCompany.com.
Matt and I have just woke up after the best night's sleep ever.
Well, speak for yourself. I woke up, I did have a good night's sleep, but I still woke up about 5:30 in the morning.
But those beds, though.
Those beds were really good. Although the highlight of my morning was switching on my social media and seeing the picture that you posted of your bum looking out the window.
If you want to see that, you can head to @TheDeanLife. Thanks for that plug, love. Listen, the Acme Hotel Company, it's a great location.
It is. We are really near, is it called the Magnificent Mile or something? Good for shopping. We're really near the river.
We can see Bloomingdale's from our hotel room.
We can see Bloomingdale's from our hotel room. And yeah, it's exciting. We're going to go and explore, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got lots and lots to do today. Have you got your walking shoes on?
I have got my walking shoes on.
What can we expect from a day out in Chicago? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I remember from the last time I was here. You've got all these amazing skyscrapers, but you know in New York, they're just everywhere. I mean, you kind of feel a bit claustrophobic and hemmed in.
Yes.
They're just dotted around in clusters, so you can see sky, and it's a bit more pleasant. It's really pleasant and well maintained, isn't it? I really like it.
I suppose as well, like, you know, you've got a bit of an expectation, whereas I've never been here before. What would you say to somebody who's coming to Chicago for the first time?
Shall I tell you what I think about Chicago is? There's so many cities in the States that everybody knows about and everybody has expectations about. Like, is that apple good, by the way? She's eating your little apple.
I'm having breakfast. It's the crack of dawn.
There's so many cities in the States, like LA, Miami, New York. People have a sense of them, even Seattle.
Yeah.
The thing about Chicago is, People don't, foreigners don't have that much idea of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of underrated. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And it's really, some of the other cities are very international. This one's very American.
Yes.
If you're into your big Americans and Midwest, this is the place to come.
Even this apple's huge. I can barely fit it in my hand. Everything's bigger in Chicago. Now listen, we're on our way. I've planned us a nice little tour, Matt. All right?
You've planned as a nice thing.
This wasn't set up. You know, it's just me and you stumbling around spontaneously through the city. Now, I must say, Choose Chicago have been absolutely amazing. The tourist board have looked after us really well. And they have actually, truth be told, set us up with not one, but two tours today.
That's fine. The Blonde Ambition Tour. Let it begin. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Blonde. I've got ambition.
Let's go. Matt and I have found ourselves in possibly one of the most incredible domes I have ever seen.
It is absolutely beautiful. We are in the Chicago Cultural Center, and John here is going to tell us all about this amazing building. I mean, this mosaic work is the first thing that stands out. It was done by Tiffany's of New York?
Yes, it was done by the Tiffany Studios of New York in the late 1890s. This is Louis Comfort. Tiffany is the head of the studio. He was the son of Edward Tiffany, and Edward is the one you'll think of when you go to a Tiffany store today.
But this guy liked his bling. There was a lot of sparkle going on, isn't there?
Exactly. He was very much into the concept of glass, of use of glass in different layers and different colors. I think he sort of once said, Mother Nature makes a lot of colors, but she doesn't always make the color I want. So he would layer glass together to get different colors.
John, it's absolutely stunning. Now, you've been involved with the Chicago Greeter for 14 years, is that right?
Yes. And the Chicago Greeter program is part of an international program around the world. Ours is over 14 years old now. The Greeter program basically is here to introduce tourists or guests to a city, in this case Chicago, obviously, and we take people around the city free of charge, depending on what their interests are.
You must love Chicago.
Yes, I do. For me, the architecture of the city in particular is the most interesting thing. Even the idea of the gardens that are here now that started over 100 years ago, but they're elaborating more and more on that today.
Well, speaking about the gardens, we're going to go to Millennium Park, but if we can just tell our listeners where this... So this is the cultural center that used to be the city library.
Yes, this was opened in 1897 as the main branch of the Chicago Public Library system. The library made a decision to leave the building beginning in the 1970s, and this officially became the cultural center in 1991.
And you can get married here now in this gorgeous hall, because I want to get married here.
Yes.
We've just got to find him someone first, John.
Okay. Yes, you can be married in this particular space. I can tell you it's probably going to cost you in the neighborhood of about $12,000 to rent the room for 6 hours.
Okay, so I need a rich, as well as a man, I need a rich man.
However, you can get married in another part of the building, in another hall with a dome, and that is free.
No, he wants this dome.
We'll do Tiffany diamonds, darling.
We'll do a crowdfunder, yes. Something. Don't worry, we'll make it work. John, okay, so we're going to head out into the Millennium Park very, very shortly, but can you just give us a sense of the history of Chicago? What is the real heart of this city?
Well, we're standing in the Loop area, which is the downtown region and the business and retail and financial district in the city. It's now even becoming a major residential district. Until the last 20 or 25 years, most people didn't live in this area, but now we have over 25,000 residents just in the central district of downtown Chicago. So this is the heart of the city.
So I need a future husband who lives here as well, who has money, can marry me here and lives in the Loop.
Exactly. There's an apartment down, or a condominium down the street. It's only $4 million, but it's four levels, 5,000 square feet.
So only $4 million? Is that all?
Yes, only
John, can you show us that? Can we do a bit of window shopping?
Let's go and find him.
So we're here in Millennium Park, and we're about to be spat on.
Ah, look at that!
That looks amazing!
Okay, we have two giant 50-foot video faces, and the faces last on the fountain for 5 minutes, but currently they're spitting out water. Basically, the concept is they're spitting their life force back onto Mother Earth. So it is the circle of life, the continuation of life.
And it's all a piece of artwork by Jaume Plenza.
And of course, the children are playing in the water, splashing about. I'm tempted to get involved.
Yes. I know. Well, I love public artwork when you can get involved and get stuck in. It's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Though I will say the artist's original intent here was to create a quiet, zen-like Japanese space where you could sit on a bench, listen to water falling, and see these faces for 15 minutes at a time. But he was very quickly told that people would not sit on a bench looking at a face doing nothing for 15 minutes. So the amount of time was cut to 5 minutes.
And every 5 minutes then, the face will blow out water.
Yes, and then the face will change to a new set of faces.
Oh, those lips are moving. Is somebody about to spit again? No, oh, no, no. Yep.
He's just blowing you a kiss, Matt.
I tell you what, I'm dying for a wee, and the sound of the waterfall really isn't helping.
It's Matt and Dean at Frigadio in Chicago, trying to find Matt a public loo.
Restroom, darling. That's what they say in America.
Okay, we're still with John Popick, tour guide from the Chicago Greater. John, tell us, what can we see in the background here?
Well, you're looking at the famous beam, also known as Cloud Gate. This is a sculpture designed by Anish Kapoor, who currently lives in London, but he was born in Bombay, India. And the bean is its nickname, mostly because we didn't know what the artist wanted to call it, so everybody kept talking about that bean thing in the park, and that nickname stuck. I will say the artist hates this nickname, but he realizes that's the way it is.
Isn't it funny, though? It's so new, and straight away it's like possibly the most well-known icon of Chicago. Everybody loves it, don't they? It's what everybody has their photograph in front of when they come. It's really been a huge hit.
Yes, exactly. In fact, we think it might be one of the most photographed sculptures in the world.
Now, when you're taking a picture here at the bean, Matt and I are going to put pictures on our Instagram, at Gadio, so you can see what the bean does to your figure. Now, John, it's not exactly very flattering, this bean, is it?
Not so bad on the outside of the structure, but inside, yes, it's like a giant funhouse mirror. I do tell people if you were the only one under the bean, you would see yourself 20 times reflected there.
Basically, it sounds horrific. But even if it's not flattering, do you know the secret most flattering bits where we can get our photographs taken?
Yes, you want to be at the tips or end of the bean and take a selfie with the bean behind you.
John, you are the best guide ever.
Come on, let's get a selfie, John. Let's get a selfie in front of the bean.
I'm not sure, John, whether we've actually stated the obvious for our listeners. The obvious to us looking at it, which is that it's a huge mirrored structure. What's it actually made out of?
It's actually made out of 164 separate pieces of 1-inch thick stainless steel.
Wow.
And it was put together here on site. So all of it had to be welded together, the welds had to be polished out, and it ended up with its final appearance.
As we walk through it, it's like an optical illusion, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it is like, well, John said it was like a giant funhouse, and it is. And the best thing about it is, though, look at the faces on all the people. Everybody's interacting with it. People are laughing, people are gasping. This is what public art's meant to be like, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, underneath the bean, it has the name of the omphalos. And omphalos is just a fancy Greek word for belly button. So we're in the belly button of the bean.
Oh, I love it. And actually, when you look up, you sort of feel like the top is really far away, but yet really close. I feel like I could touch it, but how far away is that?
Well, it's 27 feet. In terms of meters, it would be about 8 meters.
Really? It feels further away, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah, the whole thing is basically just messes with your head and your sense of perception, doesn't it? It really is like being in a giant funhouse. I love it.
If you're listening to us at home, the three of us are waddling as we walk through to go and get this selfie, because it sort of does a weird thing with your mind where you think that, you know, we might have had a few too many drinks.
Well, not yet. Give us time, darling. That's tonight, isn't it?
Isn't it?
All I'm thinking about at the moment is the most flattering spot for those selfies. But John is leading the way. Take us away, John.
Dean and Matt coming to you from Chicago. We want to say a big, big thank you to John. John, you have been with the Chicago Greater for 14 years. Why is it so important for our listeners to come and see us when they come to Chicago?
Well, Chicago tends to be overlooked by a lot of international tourists because they all want to go to New York or Orlando or San Francisco. So being in the middle of the country, we're in flyover territory, but there's a lot to see here. It's a very beautiful city, which is surprising to a lot of people, and there are many events here that can satisfy the needs of anyone in your family, from a child up to a grandma or grandpa.
Well, can I just say as well, you mentioned that you also do a gay tour, which obviously we've not done this time, which is devastating, but it does give us a reason to come back, doesn't it? Tell us what we can have on the gay tour.
Well, we would give you a walk through downtown region talking about gay history related in the center of the city, and we'd probably take you up to Lakeview Boys Town, which is one of our two major gay areas in Chicago, or maybe Andersonville, another gay area in the city. So there's quite a bit to see in Chicago, gay-wise.
John, thank you so much, and a big, big thank you to Chicago Greeter for walking Matt and I around this fabulous city this morning. It's Gadio. Matt and Dean are still here in very sunny Chicago. The sun is out.
It's really sunny all of a sudden. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but it's good. I approve. I'm not complaining.
Now, we were told by our phenomenal tour guide, Nick, that we picked the best day for our amazing shoreline river cruise. Why is that, Nick?
Well, because weather in Chicago is sort of hit or miss. It's been cold for basically the last half year. It jumps from 90 degrees to rainy and 50 for us in Fahrenheit. So, man, it's been crazy. Just yesterday, it rained so much, the river got so high, the boats weren't even running.
Oh, really?
So you guys lucked out. You picked a nice day.
No, we really did. And most of the tour measured on the architecture along the river. Now, we've heard some great stories about the buildings, but can you sum up for our listeners what makes Chicago special from the point of view of architecture compared to the other American cities?
Well, Chicago, for other American cities at least, is really the first planned city in our country. And that means that we were destroyed. The Great Fire of 1871 destroyed the city of Chicago, and it gave us a chance to rebuild it from the ground up, which meant that architects from Paris, from London, from all around the world could come into the city and create a planned city from the ground up. They could say, here's what works, here's what we know doesn't work, and we can build it, you know, not organically, not growing over time, but just a perfect city from the ground up.
Well, it was amazing, actually, hearing some of the stories that you were telling about the buildings, all the different influences from all around the world, and yet it's still a really American kind of skyline and city, isn't it?
Well, I mean, America as a country is sort of a melting pot of cultures, and I think Chicago is reflective of that. Chicago, there's sort of the glamour of building a structure in Chicago, so even today, architects from Dubai, from Tokyo, from Hong Kong, from around the world want to have their name on a skyscraper that was built in Chicago. We are the birthplace of the skyscraper, so there's a little bit of a pride thing going on. Yeah. There. But in that way, you know, we're still attracting the creative, the unusual architects, and that has really added to the variety of the architectural styles and engineering feats of our city.
Now, Nick, we speak to you on the banks of a beautiful blue turquoise river, and in our sight line, we can see one of those very impressive skylines, and it has a five-letter word written on that, T-R-U-M-P. Is Chicago that great of a city to be involved with that the architect who built the Burj Khalifa doesn't mind having Trump written on the side of his building?
So that is a very... That's a very sort of contentious point for Chicagoans. For me, the architecture of the building is gorgeous. Adrian Yes. Smith does not design an ugly building. You have to understand that there was a bit of a disagreement in Chicago concerning advertisements on the river. You don't see it a lot very often. And certainly the Trump logo on the side of his international hotel and tower is unusual. The truth is that he did actually have clearance from our city council to put that up. But what rubs Chicagoans the wrong way, and what rubs like Adrian Smith and the other architectural community the wrong way, is that the building existed for about 5 years before he decided to put his name on it.
It's quite a beautiful building, I must say.
It is a gorgeous building.
Even though it pains me to say that, it is such a stunning building.
Well, every once in a while, we hope somebody will, you know, vandalize the... they'll vandalize the T and just turn it into Rump Tower. That's
Rump Tower!
That's for me. Yep.
Hey, I tell you what, you told so many stories about all these beautiful buildings. I would love to know which is your favorite and
why. Good question.
Well, okay, that's a hard question for me. I love the city. I love the buildings here. But I'll give you two answers. Can I do that?
Yes.
Can I
give
two answers?
Cool.
Okay. So I'll give you one answer for the building we saw on the tour that you guys can see if you want to take a shoreline architecture tour, and that would be the Union Carbide and Carbon building. I'm a bit of a bigger guy. I like my drink, and it's a building shaped like a champagne bottle.
Ooh.
You can't not love a building like that.
Well, that was my favorite as well.
Exactly. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous building. 24 karat gold leaf around the top. But so that's my favorite we saw on the tour today. My favorite building in the whole city is another one that visitors to the city might enjoy seeing, and that's the John Hancock Center. It is our city's current fourth tallest building. It will soon be our fifth. once new construction is done. It is a beautiful bit of engineering and structural expressionism. I don't get a chance to see it on the tour because it's just too far back, but it is home to, without a doubt, the best view of our skyline from the observation deck, the 360 tilt, and also the best bar with a view, the signature room lounge on the John Hancock Center. So that's where I would send people to go to get a nice drink and a nice view.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And we want to say thank you for having us on the boat today. And thank you for filling us in on all those little nuances that you don't actually normally get on tours. You knew everything about this river.
Either that or I'm really good at making it up.
Hey, I tell you what, one thing you told us about the river, we've been marveling at the turquoise colour that Dean just mentioned again. And you told us it didn't always used to be that colour. It used to be an open sewer.
Exactly. The Chicago River has been sort of touched by it. In fact, part of the reason the Chicago fire was so devastating was the river was so polluted, it caught light. It caught fire, it was so polluted. But today, what we're looking at when we're talking about that beautiful turquoise color of the river, that is actually almost all crystal clear lake water coming in from Lake Michigan. And so you're looking at green algae, which embeds itself in the foundation of the river itself. Mm. So we're looking at clean lake water as opposed to sort of traditional brown river water. And, I mean, it's got a long way to go before it's truly healthy. The city says swimmable by 2020, but who knows? It's just a point of pride for us now that we've come such a long way from that open sewer, something that people marvel at with their beauty. And that, you know, that means a lot to me when I hear people like you say
I'll tell
that.
You what, though, I've got one final question before we move off. You did say, in between talking about the buildings, you let slip in that you're also a big fan of Chicago's pizza. We're about to go and have pizza for lunch. What can you tell us about deep pan pizza and where can you recommend that we go? You did say you were a big fan.
I am a huge, emphasis on the word huge, fan of Chicago traditional deep style pan pizza. Deep dish pizza is a staple in Chicago. It's like a heart attack on a plate. It's tasty. It's wonderful. My favorite pizza, if you're going to twist my arm, would be from Lou Malnati's.
That's where we're going!
Oh, well, you guys are ahead of me on that one, then. Luminati's
listen to these two guys squealing with excitement. That's where we're going!
Luminati's is the best. I think it's a cornmeal crust that makes it so delicious. They have the flakiest, butteriest crust in the city. Ooh. And so pizza's a science for us, as much as architecture is. So you can go to your different pizza place for the best sauce, for the best toppings, for the best crust. But Lou Malnati's, I'm a crust guy. And Lou Malnati's is the best crust in the city. So you guys are going to luck out.
Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course, our listeners can come and see you, hopefully you, at the Shoreline River Cruises here in Chicago. We're going to have some pizza. If there's any left, we'll bring it back for you. How's that?
I love it. I love it. Hey, you guys take care. Have a beautiful day in the city.
It's a very full and stuffed Dean and Matt Fregadio here at Lou Malnati's in Chicago. Matt, we need to talk about that pizza.
It was incredible. It was like, but what I want to know is, it was like no pizza I've ever had before. So what I want to know is, how do you make it so different? Well, it tasted like a pie or a casserole or something.
Mike Schrieger, you are the area district manager, is that right, for Lou Malnati's?
Correct.
Yes. Now tell us then, what is the secret to that pizza?
Okay, first of all, you can't call it a casserole. That's like...
Oh, sorry, I'm really sorry. It was gorgeous. Let's concentrate on that bit.
There you go. Most people say it's a little different. We basically build it upside down, right? So most pizzas you're used to have the cheese on the top. Well, on ours, it's the crust, and then the cheese, and then the ingredients, and then the tomatoes. And if you get a typical thin crust pizza, it cooks for 10, 15 minutes. That pizza is actually in the oven for half an hour. So it gives it a chance for all the flavors to kind of meld together.
So it is like a casserole. It's not like a pizza.
You know what? It's kind of like a pie. It's kind of like a pie, isn't it? Because you've got that real buttery crust, that really beautiful sort of crumbly crust there. Is it safe to say it's a bit like a pizza pie?
Yeah, it's a little bit more like a pie. And as we were talking about, we make all our dough every day, so it's never frozen. We really concentrate on that. Like, they make the dough, it rises in the bucket for a couple hours, then goes in the cooler, and then the next day we bring it out and we portion it, and then it has to rise again for an hour or two till it gets to the right temperature so that it really gets the flavor. And that's what really makes the crust have that flavor that you're looking at.
Well, and also, I've never seen pizza like that anywhere else, as we were saying at the beginning. Is it specifically a Chicago thing, or is it just this restaurant?
We are the premier place for deep dish pizza. It is basically a Chicago thing, but this... Actually, Lou Malnati...
Did he invent it? Who invented it?
His father, Rudy Malnati, invented it. And Rudy actually worked at Pizzeria Uno, which is another famous deep dish pizza restaurant. And in 1971, Lou decided that he wanted to go off on his own. And he opened the original Lou Malnati's actually on March 17th of 1971. So he opened an Italian restaurant in a Jewish neighborhood on an Irish holiday. So he always had a reason to have a party. Is what, he
what a great combination. You would think that there was a celebration happening today because on the way in here, there was the queues are out the door, you know, and there's a great atmosphere, isn't there, Matt, here in the restaurant?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's quite exciting. Why do you think that so many people are flocking here to Lou Malnati's?
Well, I think you guys experienced it, right? It's unbelievable pizza, and it's something that you're not going to get anywhere else. I think we really strive for that, and when we design, like specifically when we designed this location, we designed it to kind of have a kind of a party atmosphere, so people would be able to come in and hang out at the bar while they're waiting for a table, and the doors open up in the front, so when it's really nice out, you can experience the whole Chicago atmosphere of the thing.
Well, also, presumably, it's such a famous piece. I mean, it's so different to everywhere else. Presumably, when people, tourists, go and they come back to Chicago, they want to have it again. They want it to be the same. Nobody wants you to change.
Yeah, we have not changed the pizza.
Since 1971?
No. I mean, no. We really strive to use the same ingredients in the whole thing. And actually, every year in August, we go out to California and can our own, it's our own private label tomato that we use.
Oh, really?
So it just comes and they actually, there's a whole science to this tomato thing. Like, it's kind of like wine. The tomato has a certain sweetness and they measure the sweetness of the tomato and it has to be in an exact window for them to then can our tomato so that it translates to where we want it to be.
It's a real work of art, isn't it?
It really is.
And actually, when you experience it as well, when Matt and I were deciding what size we were going to go for. Now, Matt and I are not size queens, which is a phrase that we use back in the UK. I'm not going to bore you with it. But we were deciding
we were
how
really
many
hungry
inches
queens.
We wanted. We were. We didn't know how big we wanted it. Now, Matt, what? How many inches did you want to begin with? It was six, wasn't it?
Well, the waitress suggested a couple of slices each, and I'm like sitting there very hungry thinking I need more than that. But we couldn't finish it, could we?
Yeah, he went from 6 inches to 10. Could you believe it, Mike?
No, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good takedown. A couple slices and all that is pizza.
And he's going to take it home tonight. Do enjoy it in bed, aren't you, Matt?
Stop with your innuendo, Dean.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to keep it classy here.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm so sorry about my friend Matt, Mike. I'm really sorry. So with lots of things to do here in Chicago, Matt and I have stumbled into Theatreland.
Literally by chance.
Literally.
We've just stumbled into Theatreland.
We're now joined by George Elwood and Lanny Fox. We're in the Second City. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, Second City, it's a long-running comedy theater of sketch comedy and improv, founded in 1959 here in Chicago. It's been running around. We have seven shows every night of the week, and we're part of their Pride celebration, the show called Let's Make It Perfectly Queer. So it's a historic, important kind of place of American satire and American comedy.
I really want to know about Let's Make It Perfectly Queer, because I hear it's got a completely queer cast. Is that true?
Yes. For the first time ever, it's going to be the first all-queer cast Second City show. Yeah, absolutely.
But that seems like, how funny to have something so radical, whereas surely that shouldn't be such a big deal at this late stage of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we've had other queer people be on the main stages and ETC stages before and in other reviews, but it's the first time that it's been all six members of the cast who are all queer.
So what does that mean about the show then? Are you exploring gay issues, and is it all kind of gay jokes?
Oh yeah, it's you'll find gay sketch, gay songs, a little bit of gay improv. Yeah, lots of different stuff.
Now, I hear improv is quite big here in Chicago. Why is that?
Oh yeah, I mean, it comes from the kind of foundation of Chicago comedy community. Improv, with Second City is really known for it. A lot of people started from UChicago alums coming and creating their own people here, Del Close, Nichols and May. It's a huge mecca that people say for comedy improv. I.O., Chicago, The Annoyance. Mick is also our director, and he himself is quite a legend in the improv community.
You know what, talking about traditions of comedy and improvisation, I always think of stand-up as being quite a straight world. Quite, you know, a lot of the performers are very straight and a lot of the audiences are straight. You know, so how different is it for you guys performing in an all-queer show?
The first word that pops to mind is comfortable for the first time. Because, I mean, it's an entire cast that you can trust and not be the butt of jokes. Not that you are everywhere, but it's constantly something you have to worry about as being the only queer person or one of two queer people on a regular show.
Yeah, it's also really interesting to see what is, quote, radical in the history of Second City queer content. As in, a lot of the times these pieces that we're doing were in part of a longer sketches, where maybe it was one queer sketch in a kind of more straight narrative. And so the, quote, radical scenes we're doing are two-person, grounded husbands just, you know, having a nice afternoon. And it's interesting how that's the kind of radical point that we are focusing, is just the human quality of it all.
Must be quite exciting, you know, all this going on in here, but just around the corner, we've got Pride happening. You know, boys, you must be so excited this year for Pride, are you?
Oh, yeah. Stoked. Yeah, it's we've got the parade on Sunday that goes all morning and all afternoon, and then we get to sober up and come here and do the closing night of this show. So,
yeah.
So are you all going down, all the cast?
I'm sure we will, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of us live in that neighborhood anyway.
We do, and I think, at least I'll be going over the Annoyance because they have a big kind of queer celebration there, so.
I'm really interested to find out who decided that you were funny, because this is the Second City.
I did.
The Second City. Because I like to think that I'm quite funny, but I'm the only person that actually finds myself funny. So do you do funny classes here, and if so, what are they called?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us started taking classes, and I mean, it takes a lot of work. It's not just who's funny and who's not. It's like, can you write, can you perform, can you sing? Are you the full package? But yes, there are funny classes here, and we call them Improv 101.
Yes, I mean, especially with the Second City, they have one of the largest training centers in Chicago. And so you have anything from stand-up, sketch, to acting, improv, of course.
Voice lessons.
Voice lessons. So they have a huge system. I took classes in college, and I've been doing this for quite a while. But it's just kind of like rolling from gig to gig until you get an opportunity like this.
Well, also, we're talking about Second City, but you both have done lots of work elsewhere. I read in your biography, Lani, that you've been in a musical set in a bathhouse, or as we call them, an all-male sauna.
Yes, it's called Steamworks the Musical, running at the Annoyance Theater, Fridays at 7 p.m. all the way through.
Steamworks?
Or 8 p.m., I'm sorry, 8 p.m. all the way through the fall, yes.
Steamworks the Musical.
Now, obviously, you know, you would have had to have attended something like this to get into. Are you a method actor?
Did you do some research?
Did you do some absolutely. Site-specific training?
They copped me in and everything. I had to go check all of it out, really? Top to bottom, to make sure it was...
From top to bottom!
You asked if I was funny.
It writes itself. All right, boys. Now, one final thing then. Of course, times here in America are very interesting. Okay, you're getting lots of press overseas in the UK. That must give you a hell of a lot of material to work with, does it, George?
Oh, absolutely. Or if anything, just nerves, which was all my funny comes from, is just anxiety. So right now, I'm just ripe with funny jokes.
Well, what do you do with all the political stuff? Do you steer clear, or do you attack it head on, the whole Trump thing? I mean, is it just too can you not go there?
This show is not as political, and I'll say in some shows in this building, both like they use it and they don't. We've had some critique saying that maybe we're too political from the right side. The left side, I'm sure, would say the opposite. It's quite an unusual time to create comedy right now. It's just a blessing to be around such strong-minded people.
Mm. And this show in particular is mostly archival material that's been written by older generation queer people who have been on these stages. So a lot of the political stuff is a little bit dated. We do stuff about like DOMA and like stuff like that.
Yeah, which were bills that have long been passed.
Yeah,
overpassed.
Yeah, overturned.
Is it important to keep laughing in these times?
100%. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in some ways too. I mean, it's such an honor to be working with such a diverse LGBT group too. We have the first time a trans woman who has been on Second City stages, which they have no archive material for a trans woman. And being able to work with Miss Riley Mondragon.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, and in many ways have that be on a discussion, but also not too, you know, because at the end of the day, we're just all trying to be funny people.
Can I just say, you mentioned something called DOMA before. Bearing in mind you've got two British boys here, both of us horrifically jet-lagged. Are we going to get... We're very excited about seeing the show, but are we going to get it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah, we could spoon feed it to you.
Yeah. Can I get mine through a straw? Perfect. Okay, that leaves us just one thing to say then. Our listeners at home will be dying to know why they should come to Chicago. In a nutshell, sell it to us.
Oh, Chicago. I mean, it's the best place. Coming from Little Rock, Arkansas, a little boy from the South. It's the city of big shoulders, and they'll make you laugh.
Sold.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's got everything. It's so diverse. It's so kind. It moves at its own pace, and it's its own flavor. You just have to come check it out. It's the best.
One of the most welcoming and inviting LGBT neighborhoods I've ever been to. Very fun. Always a thing to do.
Boys, thanks for talking to us. Matt and I are absolutely delighted to be invited to come and watch Let's Make It Perfectly Queer. Can't wait. It's Gaydio, the beat of Gay UK, Dean McCulloch and Matt Keane with you, exploring everything there is to see and do in Chicago. Now, you've been to Boys Town before.
I love Boys Town.
Is it nicer this time around because the sun is shining and it's a gorgeous day?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it was nice last time. I mean, although, actually, most of the time I was here last time was in the evening. So it is nice to be here. Sunny day. It's just amazing when, you know, that there's just gays everywhere. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and everyone's super friendly. I mean, you and I must have looked extremely lost when we stepped out of that tube at Belmont because a man brushed past me and then turned around and said, "Are you lost?"
I know, but shall I tell you what else I find amazing when you come here? That if you've got a British, an English or an Irish accent, people love it. And it's like instantly they love you. It's an aphrodisiac as well. You know, it's kind of like, how did this happen?
Yeah, it's a bit of a magnet, isn't it? People are just drawn to you.
And how many times have people commented on our accents in a positive way since we've been here?
I know, it's brilliant. And very often they're just very confused about what we're saying, like when we were ordering our lunch at this place called Drew's on Halstead, right in the middle of Boys Town. What did you make of your food?
Well, we didn't meet Drew, but I did like the food. I don't know who Drew was, but the staff were very nice who we did meet. Yeah, and the food was great. I mean, I always think when you come to America, you don't want haute cuisine or anything. You basically want a burger and that kind of food, don't you? Diner food. Yeah. It was like high-end diner food. I loved it. Yeah.
It's just exactly what you need as well after sort of 8 hours, 50-minute flight, isn't it? You just want to get out, explore, and have some good food. And I really enjoyed my wee cocktail.
Did you, in fact?
If it's good enough for Ellen DeGeneres, it's good enough for me. That's how you sold it. I was like, right, what will I have? Will I have a margarita? Will I join you with a glass of red? And when he said, when Ellen comes here, and I was like, I'll have it. It's for me. It's Gadio. We're still here in Chicago. Matt and I are so delighted to have managed to track this man down the night before the big parade. He is the parade coordinator, Richard Pfeiffer. You must... how have you managed to fit us in? Are you not? Shouldn't you be somewhere coordinating things off and getting things ready?
I will be in a few minutes, after I finish this. Yeah.
Now, of course, this is the biggest job. But long ago, the parade was a lot bigger, but it's had to be contained down now. Is that to do with numbers, or how does that work?
Well, it has to do with the economics. I mean, you know... we're in a strange economic situation now, and the city is, like most American cities, are going through problems and issues, and so we had to cut down the parade. A decade ago, we had 300 entries, and we're down to 150 entries. And but it's still a long parade. It's about 2.5 hours by the time the last entry gets up the parade route. It's about 3.5-4 hours. So that's, I guess, long enough for a parade.
And well, yeah, absolutely. But other than size, how does it compare to what it used to be? Because bigger isn't necessarily better, is it? Has it got better, even though it's smaller?
Yeah, I mean, we're an amalgam of everything. We have gay people, non-gay people. The LGBTQ community comes out in force, and we have a lot of supporters. We have a lot of corporate sponsorship, a lot of corporations in the parade. But saying that, within the corporations, there's LGBT employee groups. Practically every major American corporation now has an LGBTQ employee group within the corporation.
You know, when you have all the big corporates, how do you keep that special spirit and that special sparkle in the parade and stop it becoming just a parade of...
corporations. Yeah. Well, what we do now is for a lot of our not-for-profit groups, we tell the corporations, if you want to be in the parade, you've got to sponsor a not-for-profit, and they all march together. So we have a long waiting list of about 100 and of businesses and that want to be in the parade, but we say the only way we'll let you in the parade is if you are supportive and sponsor both financially and with your parade entry, the not-for-profits that are often struggling. If they're small not-for-profits, they're struggling. So, but our parade is really celebratory. It's political. It's a little bit of everything. It's not just a march. and it's not a parade. You're going to see some angry people in the parade, but you're also going to see a lot of costumes, and you're going to have drag, and you're going to have, I mean, everything. You're going to have
us too as well this year.
Are you going to be in the parade? Oh, you're staying to be in the parade.
Oh, we definitely are.
Try and keep us away.
I know. We'll be everywhere and nowhere.
What about the route, or the route, as you say here? Because you mentioned it before, and, you know, we're talking about how amazing this city is. You've got this amazing gay area. What is the actual route, and are there any kind of landmarks as you go through that are of particular LGBT significance?
Our Rocos through a largely LGBT community. Some of the pride parades, like about 85 pride parades around the country. Some take place in what we call here in the U.S. our downtown areas. But a lot of the larger ones, like ours, Los Angeles, San Diego's, are in LGBTQ neighborhoods. And we're a 21-block parade route, and we go through an area called Uptown and Lakeview. Where we're standing right here now is our nightlife district, where a lot of the clubs and the bars are at. And where people, I mean, this is the most crowded area of the whole parade route. It's like 15, 16, 17 people deep. So I always tell people, if you don't like crowds and people mashing up against, you go to other areas of the parade route.
Let's talk about Boys Town for a second. Now, Matt and I are very, very excited to get in and explore all those little nooks and crannies and hot spots to visit during the parade. Have you got any suggestions for us, things that we should get involved with?
I'm in a position, I can't tell you that, because I, you know, as being
parade,
I can't tell you particular bars. And it depends, you know, we're no different here. Some of our bars are, you know, we have leather bars, we have drag bars, we have bars that sometimes are age different. You'll have older gentlemen and older ladies going to certain bars. And then you'll have bars that are very mixed.
And what about bars for British boys who want to meet nice American boys?
Americans love accents. So I'll go in and start talking, and I think you're going to do very well.
No, you're talking.
They'll understand us then. I think they'll hear Matt and run away. They'll be like, where is he from?
I think you'll do very well because American boys love British accents.
But everyone's so friendly. There's such a great sense of community here already. We can feel it.
Well, Chicago, we're very different from New York. We have a lot of people. You get a New York feeling, but the people are friendly. Not saying that New York isn't friendly, but
it's not that friendly, is it? I mean, it's less friendly than, you know, they're quite blunt New Yorkers. Yeah. And
it's a big city, isn't it?
What you've got here is a lot of people who live here are people who came from small town America. You know, I happen to be a Chicagoan, but a lot of times you run into people in the LGBT community who come from Peoria, Illinois, or downstate Illinois, or Indiana, where they grew up being very repressed. And they're so glad to be with other people, whether gay or not, that are supportive of them and like them. And so, yeah, I mean, I've lived here all my life and wouldn't live anyplace else.
Well, and you say all your life, you've been doing this job for more than 40 years?
Yeah, well, actually 44 years. Yeah. I always tell people I started when I was just five years old. Lie. But yeah, and I've enjoyed doing it. It's been a volunteer job. I've had a great career outside of this. And I've been involved in a lot of aspects of the LGBT community. I headed up the community center here. I was on a mayoral advisory council. I've done a lot of things. But my energy, as this parade has grown over the years, I mean, we're going to have 1 million people in the area around the parade route over the whole 24-hour period. So the actual parade route holds about 300,000 people, but the actual people coming and going the whole day is about 1 million people. So it's.
And where can we expect to see you tomorrow then, watching the parade?
I'm at the beginning, at the kickoff, and I have to make sure that those 150 entries step off on time. And then when the last one steps off the street, I get in a little golf cart and ride down the...
Can we come on the cart with you because we don't like walking, so can we jump on the back?
Actually, there's only room for two. My partner and I drive.
Okay, Matt, that's me. You can walk.
This is Matt Kane in Boys Town, and I'm here to discover more about the Legacy Project with Victor. You're the creator, is that right?
Yes, I am.
So what can you tell me about the creation of the Legacy Project? What was the kind of inspiration behind it?
Well, it actually goes back to the March on Washington in 1987, which was really the first time many of us kind of cut our teeth in terms of political understanding or awakening about our understanding of history. Several things happened simultaneously there that triggered the idea for the project. One was, it was the first time the day that would come to be called National Coming Out Day, October 11th, was first recognized. It was the first time ACT UP, the AIDS Action Organization, did a protest at the Supreme Court in Washington, which was at the dawn of the AIDS crisis. And then it was the first time the AIDS Names Project quilt was put on display. Mm-hmm. And all these things all happened within 30 hours of each other. I was the chairperson from Chicago, and you know, busy running around doing all the things that you do when you're at a march with 800,000 people.
And, we know exactly what those kind of things
are.
And
all of a sudden I was just struck by this idea that we were living through history in real time, but now there was a plague that was going to kill every person here, yet we're being asked to embrace our history and the shared legacy of everyone, yet we don't know ourselves who's going to remember who came before us when we're gone if we don't know.
Well,
so that was the beginning.
Yeah, well, I always say that we're one of the only minority groups who don't have parents from the same, you know, it's very unusual for a gay child to have a gay or lesbian mum or dad, whereas if you're black or Jewish or, you know, usually you have one parent,
right,
at least, and they can give you a sense of your cultural legacy.
The name The Legacy Project came immediately, and all we knew was that we had to figure out some way to physicalize our history and make it accessible outdoors so that no kid would have to go to a library and ask for a book title they were too embarrassed to ask for.
This is pre-internet, of course.
And this is, and that they wouldn't have to pay admission.
Well, at this point, we're saying it, and you mentioned pylons, but can we explain for our listeners? I'm next to, you say pylon, it almost looks like a golden rocket decorated with the colors of the rainbow. Could you explain what the Legacy Project consists of here in Boys Town?
Well, the pylons that we're referring to indeed are, I believe, 23 or 25 feet tall. And they are gold, and they do look like rocket ships, and they have the rings of the gay pride flag on them. It says North Halsted Street up at the top to define the neighborhood where this is actually taking place. This is technically called the North Halsted Streetscape.
Well, I always wonder about Boys Town. It's like, yeah, that can't be the official name for the area.
Well, actually, a friend of mine coined the name many, many years ago in a column. He was a journalist and just started calling it that, and the name stuck. And that was, so it's never really been the official name.
It's a good name, though, let's be honest.
Well, of course, if you're a boy, but there are plenty of people who are not boys who have actually always kind of resented the name. I've been trying to quietly rename it Rainbow Village, but it never seems to go anywhere. But nonetheless, it is Boys Town, and it is here for everybody, even if you're not a boy, or if you're only a boy sometimes. The installations themselves are these sort of like really tall things, which we have turned into, for lack of a better term, does this translate into British, a totem pole?
Yeah, no, we get that, yeah, because yeah, it's an American Indian thing.
Yeah, so these basically are now adorned with bronze memorials recognizing LGBT contributions to world history and culture. It is an international multicultural experience, and there are currently 38 bronze memorials. It's the largest collection of bronze biographical memorials in the world, and certainly the only one of its kind that is focused on this particular community.
And you say contributions, but specifically it's people who've made a contribution, isn't it? We're standing next to Reinaldo Arenas, the Cuban writer, and Alan Turing.
Mm-hmm. Alan Turing was really the lightning rod for me. I had an interest in this project for many, many years, going back, like I said, to 1987. The pylons weren't actually installed until 1998, and it wasn't until 1999 when I myself read the story of Alan Turing for the first time, and just sort of like one paragraph that was in Time magazine. They were doing like the top 100 scientists of the 20th century. It was, you know, beginning before the turn of the millennium. And I'm just going through, reading along, and I get to the T's, and I'm reading about this Alan Turing, and I get to the last three sentences that, you know, he was homosexual at a time when it was both illegal and considered a mental illness in Britain, and 2 weeks before his 42nd birthday, he bit into an apple laced with cyanide and ended his life. And as a survivor of a suicide when I was a teenager, for some reason, that story just went through me like a spear, and I started reading everything I could about this man, because I had been inducted into the Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame in 1998, and all I could think of was, because I thought I was, you know, who I was, right?
Yeah.
Because I was,
yeah,
in the Hall of Fame, and I was like, oh my God, this guy changed the course of history, and no one knows who he is.
Totally uncredited.
And who the hell am I that I should be in a Hall of Fame? And I always say that that was the point where the sort of the pipe dream of creating the Legacy Walk became an obsession. So in every way imaginable, this entire installation is here because of Alan Turing.
Okay, it's brilliant. We're going to leave behind Alan and Reinaldo.
Okay.
And you're going to take us on to the next stop. Now, Victor, you've brought us to another stop. We've got Harvey Milk on one side and Stonewall on the other.
Yep.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. But could you just tell us how So we're obviously having a private tour, but what would you normally do? How would a visitor usually experience this legacy tour?
Well, typically people will find us either through like the Choose Chicago app for coming to Chicago, or Enjoy Illinois, which is the same function, where we have a page on those pages that invite people to go to our website, where there is a take a tour button.
Yeah.
And then people just contact us to arrange for a private tour. We don't have enough of a demand for us to be having like a regular tour schedule, so everything is just custom made. Hopefully we'll get to a point where that will happen. There will be other docents and it'll be much more robust, but right now it's pretty much on an ask basis. It's not terribly expensive or anything like that to do, but it's fun though, because we combine it with dinner and cocktails. We have a pub crawl version where every fourth plaque you stop and have a cocktail. Those are extremely popular.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, those are extremely popular. You should see what the crowd is like by the time you get to the 16th plaque.
You know what? This bronze pattern that we're next to, we've got Harvey Milk on one side. We were talking about the closet. He was one of the people who burst open the doors of the closet. But we've also got next to Harvey Milk, we have Stonewall, which obviously isn't a person, but a historical event. Presumably, it's a key stop on the Legacy Tour, this Stonewall.
Right. We have four. These are called milestone plaques. We have four of them. One is a memorial to Two Spirit people, which are basically Native American, Canadian First Nations, Indigenous tribes, and the queer identity within those tribes, and what happened to them because of colonialism. There's also the Harlem Renaissance, which was sort of like really the first urban gay cultural place for queer people to gather in the United States. There's also Stonewall, of course, and then the story of the Pink Triangle and the Holocaust. Those are the milestones that we have. I'm sure soon others will follow eventually, marriage equality and all these other sorts of things. But Stonewall is actually kind of a revelation, because everyone knows what the Gay Pride Parade is, but almost no one understands why it got started. So Stonewall is when I kind of explain what the progression of that time was and how it manifests itself in the U.S., because obviously every country has its own history and how that came about. Britain has an enormous history of the evolution of gay rights, which parallels ours and is just another aspect of the story.
Well, should I say one thing, actually? I do know the Stonewall story, but one thing I didn't realize, I didn't understand coming to the States for Chicago Pride, why all your prides are on the same day. Because back in the UK, we have Manchester Pride, Brighton Pride, London Pride, Birmingham Pride. They're spread around the year, so people can go to lots of them. Whereas for you, you hold most of your Pride parades, am I right in thinking, on the anniversary of the Stonewall riots?
Proximal to it, because sometimes the 28th of June, which just happens to be my birthday, and there's no correlation between the riot and my birthday. But
the nearest Sunday, then.
Yeah, it's nearby. It's always the last Sunday in June. But, for example, like Milwaukee, which isn't very far from us, like a 90-minute drive, they do it, I think, on the weekend before or the weekend after. So what will happen is cities, California is another example, because you got Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco, they do them on different weekends so everyone can attend all of them.
Right.
So they're all kind of proximal to each other, and they all basically take place in June, but they're not necessarily on the same day.
So that's why you call it Pride Month, then, which we don't really have Pride Month.
Right.
So everything in the same month to commemorate Stonewall.
Largely in most of the main urban areas, it's roughly one of the Sundays in June.
The Legacy Tour has existed since 2012. Mm-hmm. Tell us what the future is. Are you putting new pylons up? Are you commemorating new figures? What's going to happen in the future?
So what happens is this year we'll add the 39th and 40th, which will be Marsha P. Johnson, the transgender activist, and Tchaikovsky. They will fill the slots. There are 40 slots on the street. The idea was, of course, we could never pick the top 40 queer people in history. That you'd have a bloodbath if you tried to do that. That would never happen. But we're going to take a year off and allow the walk simply to be. We have a lot of maintenance issues. Some of the older ones have been up for a while. We've got some painting and things like that that have to be taken care of. And then in 2020, if everything goes well, we'll have opened our visitor center in the spring of 2020. And then we will resume the process of new plaque installations, and very slowly the oldest plaques will come off, be sent off to be stripped and refinished, and then mounted for to be put indoors. They will go inside the visitor center so that all the tours begin with the, quote, retired plaques. And as each one comes off, it'll open up a space on the street for a new one to take its place. So the outdoor installation will always remain dynamic. And the plaques will always be on display, whether they're indoors or outdoors.
That's terrific. Thank you very much for all that, and best of luck with it. But just before we say goodbye, in the meantime, before the center is set up, where can people go to get more information on the Legacy Project?
Please visit our website, www.legacyprojectchicago.org.
So Matt and I have found ourselves in the place to be in Chicago. We're in Sidetrack and we're joined by Brad, the manager. Tell us, what can we expect from a Saturday afternoon here at Sidetrack?
Well, the weather's perfect today. It had been raining all week, so people are very anxious to get out. It is beautiful. It's no clouds in the sky, 70 degrees. Everybody's amped up for the big parade tomorrow, so it's a great place to be up here on the roof deck.
Well, can I say, Brad, of both of us, I'm the one.
Most excited to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to be here, but that's partly because I've been here before.
Okay.
I have, believe it or not, been around the block a few times.
I believe it.
just a few times.
I have been to Sidetrack, and it's fair to say that it's a kind of boys' town institution, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been here for 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th anniversary this last Wednesday. You know, it is a place that a lot of people for a long time, you know, we didn't have LGBT centers. We didn't have gays, you know, community centers. Bars were the community centers. And so that's how Sidetrack started in 1982. And so for a long time, that's what it was. And it continues to be for people.
Well, 1982 as well is such a kind of key year for the gay community, isn't it? Because it's just after the liberation of the 70s, but just as things are changing with the HIV/AIDS crisis. Obviously, you weren't around then because you're so young and youthful.
Stop flirting with him.
I'm not.
As he puts his hand on my shoulder.
I'm not touching anything, but I'm going to say here.
Look at your sister's shoulder. He's touching.
I was trying to make a serious point about how the area and the gay scene has changed in the time that Sidetrack has been open.
Yes, and then, you know, something that is sort of reflective of that is that each year we partner with a local charity that has changed names over the years, but it was once called Open Hand, Vital Bridges, Grocery Land, and it's now part of the Heartland Alliance. And for a long time, all of our anniversary parties were chances to raise money and collect goods for people living with HIV and AIDS. So that is still an entrenched tradition that's part of Sidetrack and kind of where we want our place to be in the community.
Now, Brad, you will have seen a massive change over the last couple of years in terms of Pride. Tomorrow we've got the Pride Parade. You know, what can we expect in 2018?
Well, you are correct. Like, you go downtown to Michigan Avenue where all of the big stores are, Louis Vuitton, Levi, they've all got Pride displays. You know, Target, our big shopping center, has a huge Pride section. That's not even something you would have seen 5 years ago. So there's really been this mass shift. There's just been this breaking point of everybody sort of opening their eyes and companies and corporations really embracing both the LGBT community and the LGBTQ dollar. So you'll see a lot of, you'll probably see a lot more corporate floats at the Pride Parade tomorrow. You'll probably see a lot of inclusion for brands that are national, not just local.
You know what? All LGBT institutions now are under pressure to have that community engagement. What presence is Sidetrack going to have at Pride so that it isn't just taking everybody's money for drinks? I mean, what can you do to get involved?
Well, in terms of the parade, that's one afternoon. So we have to do stuff 365. So what we're going to do tomorrow is help continue to spread that message. Our float this year, the theme for it is Lead with Love. And you can see my hands are covered in pink paint because we're finishing up that. And we're using it as an opportunity to sort of send that message and continue that thought of, especially now in our current political climate in America, that leaders and all of us should really start from a place of love, and that can help guide a lot of the decisions that we have to make, whether it has to do with keeping families together or funding for those who are less fortunate or underrepresented. So,
now, Brad, one thing that Matt and I have both noticed from being here in Boys Town for a short while is how diverse it is. And just looking around here at the bar, if we really take a look, we can see people of all ages. You know, you've got a great group of women there as well. You've got people of different ethnicities and stuff like that. Is that something that you pride yourself on here in Boys Town?
I pride myself on it here, particularly just for the fact that, you know, for a long time, bars were a place that only gay men, or if it was a lesbian bar, women would go to, and no one else would really even venture into those spaces, much less want to go into those spaces. And to have a great space now that's welcoming for everyone, that's sort of the point of the LGBT movement, if we're we're going to say that we're all equal and we should be able to hang out together and be together, then we kind of have to practice what we preach and be welcoming to everyone if they're willing to come here and have a good time and participate in the party.
I know that lots of our listeners, as soon as they come to Chicago, they'll go on and they'll Google best gay bars in Chicago. And
what will come up when they do that?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Sidetrack would be right up there. But you've got, as you took us a little walk through the venue, so many different bars, different lighting states, different decor. You know, is it really a one-stop shop for party goers here in Chicago?
This is the other great thing about Chicago that I'll say. The only other place that I've been to in my travels yet that's similar is Montreal, in that we don't just have, we're certainly a beautiful bar and we love it when people come here, but we have an entire strip. You can get off the red line here between Belmont and Addison and go to 10 different gay bars, all of which have a different vibe, all of which have a different feel, restaurants, clothing stores. So while yes, there are lots of different looks inside Track, I really invite anybody who's going to come to Chicago to enjoy the LGBT nightlife to go to all the bars.
We're still here basking in the sunshine with Brad, the manager of Sidetrack.
Hey. And
now tell us, it isn't just all happening this weekend. You had Pride Fest last week. Are you still recovering?
Okay, Chicago is a very unique city in that we get 3 months of summer and 9 months of winter. So when it's the 3 months of summer, we do it all. So last week we had Pride Fest, and that's a huge street festival with live performances. We had Maya here. We had Belinda Carlisle. And then we have this weekend, which is Pride Weekend, which is the big parade. And then later in the summer, we have something called Market Days, which is a huge street festival that's right out front, right outside the steps of Sidetrack here. And that has, again, more musical acts. This year we have Betty Who and Todrick Hall, among others.
Fabulous.
So it's I always say, personally, for me, if you're coming from very far, the best time to visit Chicago is Market Days. Pride's great, but Market Days is a real whole weekend flavor of what Chicago can be.
But we have come from a long way away. You've got two British boys. We're not here for Market Days. We're here for Pride. What should we do? What can you recommend we do after the parade? Where should two innocent, well, one innocent and one not so innocent, Val McKelly, British boy, what should we do afterwards? Where do we come to have fun?
So my suggestion would be go out tonight, bounce around the bars, find the places you like, and then plan on going to a specific location along the parade route tomorrow where there might be a little shade, some access to a restroom, watch the whole parade, and then go back to whichever bar you enjoyed the most tonight, tomorrow afternoon.
So we're going to test it all tonight and set up camp tomorrow night.
Correct.
You're a seasoned pro, aren't you? You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I've worked here at Sidetrack for 17 years, been the manager for 4 years. I used to dance on the float in a towel myself, and now I get to build the floats and roll it down the street.
What is your favorite night of the week here in Sidetrack? Because Matt and I love a musical. Now, we're here in Chicago. Guess who's playing Roxy and who's playing Velma?
Okay, well, one of them is the new ingenue that's coming up, right?
Yeah.
And the other one is the seasoned veteran that kills her sister, right?
Take a wild guess.
I love it, though.
Roxy.
That's Mars. The one, honey.
Velma Kelly.
I'm gonna be a
celebrity. I am Velma Kelly, but I'm happy being Velma Kelly. I'm happy being the predatory cougar.
Cicero.
Spread eagle.
Yes.
So if Matt and I were to come here on a Monday night, would it be a case of us getting up on stage and just giving you a quick number? Because it's Musical Mondays, isn't it?
It is, but musical. So Monday, musical. We do show times 3 times a week. We do them for cocktail hour on Fridays from 5 to 9. We do them on Sundays from 4 to 9 as part of our Sunday fun day. And then we do them Monday night from 8 to close. And each variation of those show tunes is different. You've got a real, like, hardcore show tune crowd that comes out every Friday afternoon. And then Sunday fun day is much more of the crowd favorites, the sing-alongs, You Can't Stop the Beat from Hairspray.
And you really can.
You Don't Own Me from the First Wives Club.
Love
and then
it!
Monday night in the theater is a night where most theaters are dark. And we have huge Broadway shows that tour through Chicago. So it's never a surprise that we get the casts of the Cher show that's in town right now, or the cast of Aladdin. And they come in on their night off because this is what they love. And so on Monday nights, you're going to get a much more tried and true theater crowd, theater students, and we have people that take it upon themselves to perform numbers, and the audience gets involved and like turns on their flashlights on their phones and shines them on the people that are performing.
And but that's where your social media comes in. You splash them all over
It's organic, so we don't tell them what to perform. They do it. There's, you know, there's a performer who does the Book of Mormon. There's a performer who does Frozen, the number from Frozen. There's someone that... Yes. So that's...
You know, can I ask, so you've talked about different nights of the week, what happens here, but also just on any night, you walk around and each room is like being in a different bar. It has a different feel. Can you tell us, as the manager, which is your favorite room? Where do you go to have a good time?
That's a really tough question because it depends on what I'm doing. We obviously, you know, once a month we have an All Things Beyonce night where... gay gasp. Did you hear the gay gasp? The gay gasp.
Yes. Are we talking like pre-lemonade, crazy in love?
We're talking across the gamut. We are talking videos that you cannot find anywhere else. Ooh. We are talking live performances. We are talking all of the bad choreography that Michelle Williams did. Oh. We're talking about all of it.
All the beats that she missed.
Yep. And then we have some great local drag queens. We have an amazing, amazing host who is our house host. Her name is Dixie Lynn Cartwright, and she's here at least 3 or 4 times a week hosting these events. So we do an All Things Beyonce once a month. When that happens, I want to be on the dance floor.
You're a bit
I want to be by the stage.
Matt, I am absolutely stuffed after that dinner.
Me too. We've just been to River Roast and we actually shared a whole chicken.
Yes.
With the trimmings. Can you imagine if we'd tried to have like, more?
Yeah.
Loads. I know. American appetites are unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah, I think this river as well. We've spent most of the day around this river and it is so beautiful just to sit and relax and people watch at River Roast. I think that they've hit the nail on the head, haven't they? Because you can go inside and you can sit in the nice cozy sort of corner booths, or you can really sit out and feel the breeze on your skin as you're eating your dinner with your loved one. It's quite romantic. I thought at one point we might have been on a date.
But we're sisters. But we're sisters, Dee.
I'm going to keep you away from those gin and tonics, which you thoroughly enjoyed, didn't you?
I did. And can I just say about this river? It is. I mean, there's so many cities that have a river going through them, but this one's kind of different, isn't it? Because, you know, we talked about how pretty it is and the colour of the water, but you've also got people canoeing and on jet skis in it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, does it?
It doesn't feel right, but only because it's so nice. It doesn't feel kind of down and dirty like a city river. It's just so lovely to sit next to it and eat chicken and drink gin and tonics.
Well, I tell you what though, it is the perfect setting actually if you're here with your loved one, because they're, you know, everyone, it was so friendly and there were some same-sex couples having dinner, so it's quite nice to see that here in Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, but, absolutely.
It's that kind of place. And, you know, another thing that I've realised, I don't know about you, there is just rainbows everywhere. If we look up to the right here, one of the skyscrapers, do you think that they have these lights out all year round, or do you think this is just for Pride, that beautiful
building up there
with the lights?
Well, I didn't notice them last time I was here, but it is interesting, isn't it? Because the Pride Parade and everything, as we're about to find out, takes place in Boys Town, the gay area.
Yes.
So you kind of worry about it being slightly ghettoised, but it's great to be in the downtown area and to see, as you say, not only flags flying everywhere, but also buildings lit up in all the colours of the rainbow. I suspect it's for what they call here Pride Month.
Yes, I think it is. And I think... Really? That meal has set us up for a good night's sleep. Are you looking forward to the parade tomorrow?
I am. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. So it's a big, big day tomorrow, the 49th annual Chicago Pride Parade. I am absolutely excited.
I can't wait. And I know, Dean, that we are supposed to go and have an early night, so we're all fresh in the morning, but my inner bad girl is stirring.
Ooh.
And I feel like I need to go out for a little cheeky drink. What do you reckon?
Do you know what? Let's just go for one.